All right, good to see everyone this evening. Welcome to Finance Friday. This is Jerry Fedda, founder of Wealth Dynamics, and I want to give you Finance Friday this evening for the first time back in a little while. We changed these to Saturdays at one point. We're back to Friday, but Finance Friday, just to give you, as you're watching this right now, this is something that I first started doing back in 2018. Right. And I did these, every week for probably 4 or 5 years in a row. And the reason I did these and the reason why I'm going to continue to do them is when I first started learning about this financial stuff, there was a lot of information that had somebody not stopped and shared it with me just out of the goodness of their hearts and wanting me to learn and wanting me to know this stuff, I would have never known. Right. I would have had zero idea that any of this stuff was a thing, and I would have been totally lost. So part of my give back, if you will, the way to invest in others is by doing these and sharing information that, most people would probably be charging for. And my purpose and vision with this, just so you understand, is I envision a world where the majority of wealth is owned and controlled by good people who have good intentions, who use that to then make the world a better place. Right. And so what we're going to talk about this evening on Finance Friday is we're going to talk about investing. We're going to talk about how to avoid some of the top pitfalls, right? So we're going to spend the next 20, 30 minutes diving into that. Right now, a little bit about my backstory with investing. I first became a financial advisor at the age of 18, right? I got my licenses. I grew up, very poor, low income. Nobody in my family was an investor. I didn't know anyone that was an investor. I didn't know anyone that was even wealthy. So I had zero reality that that was something that I could do, right? I grew up in Alaska. Like, I wasn't this, college graduate with parents who had money and influence and all these things. Like, I was, paycheck to paycheck, family, food stamps, subsidized lunches at school. That was my lifestyle, right? So as I started to grow older, I realized that this economics thing doesn't go away, right? Who's realized this? Whether you're at the top or the bottom. At the bottom, you're like, man, I just wish I could get by. Right. And you realize the bills keep coming, the expenses keep stacking up. When you're at the top, if you've done what I've done and you're like, good, my income is higher than I ever thought, my net worth is higher than I ever thought, you get to the top and, dude, you realize the same thing. You're like, this doesn't stop. Right. This economics thing is just always there, right? So it's part of the rules of the game that we play. And I realized that at the age of 18, and I decided what better way than to get licensed as a financial advisor and start to learn these things and teach other people, because I could master it for myself and I could learn how to do it with others. And if I have to teach it, then I must be really good at it. Right. So what I started doing is I was meeting with clients and stuff, and I was doing the retirement planning and the regular investing and the mutual funds and the 401k plans and all the normal things. Right. And as I went through this, I was like, the thing I'm seeing is the life of the individual that I'm sitting in front of is not changing. Right. At the, the average everyday family level. And this is who I was dealing with, because I was a Dave Ramsey financial advisor back then. Right. So my job was to sit down and help you, do your life insurances and your retirements and help you pay off your debt. And so I would sit down with someone, and I remember sitting down with a woman one time, and I helped her plan out her retirement account. And I was like, ma'am, when you're 65, you're going to be fine. Right. But the look on her face was not that. It was like, what about next week? Right. What about in a couple of years when I have to figure out how to pay for college for my kids? Right. And I started seeing, like, okay, this is not handling stuff for people in a way that their life improves right now. Okay. And so my first client was my mom, right? Who else has a supportive mom, right? Let's see a show of hands on that. If you have a supportive mom, it's phenomenal. My mom was my first client, right? And so part of my story is, I sat down with my mom and I helped her with all of her retirement stuff. And I did it all by the book, right, guys? I did it all by the book. Everything the way you're supposed to do it, down to the last thing. And we would check in on her stuff, and once a year, twice a year, we'd see it was growing, it was doing well. And if you know about retirement accounts, you know that at age 59 and a half, you're able to start withdrawing money from these things, right? And sadly enough, my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer at age 60, right? She passed away 6 months later, And she didn't get to enjoy any of what we were planning for. The entire game, all the rules, we followed it. So picture this: I'm 20, 21 years old, and a financial advisor, relatively new in the industry, and I'm looking at this and I'm seeing, wow, like this all just unraveled in front of my eyes with one of the people I love the most. And that stuck with me because I was like, I don't want to see that happen to me, and I don't want to see that happen to other people. Right? Because here's the thing, here's the problem with the normal retirement system. You might be, contributing and maxing out your 401k plan and all that stuff, and that's fine. Okay? But here's the game. The game is you want to die before the money runs out. And I know that sounds morbid, but think about it. If you outlive your retirement money, what are you going to do? Right? So the idea is I really want to die before it runs out. That's the plan for most people. I want to build up my nest egg and pay off the house and do all this stuff and then die before it runs out. Right? Now, here's the other part of the game. Don't do that too soon. Die before it runs out, but don't do it too soon, because if you do it too soon, you don't get to enjoy any of the things that you build up for. So I have this crazy idea that the definition of wealth actually has nothing to do with finances. You see, my definition of wealth is that it means abundance and prosperity in all areas of your life. Right, so I want you to think about this. And for those of you that are watching online, I want to put this on the whiteboard just to give you an idea of what that means, right? So if we think about what are all of the areas in our life, right? What would those be if we draw those out? Okay, so we have the most immediate one you think about is your physical health, right? Mental, intellectual, emotions. Spouse, right? Family, friends. What else? You've got your work, right? Your career, your profession. You've got your hobbies. You've got what? Animals. All of these things are things we interact with in life. Animals, nature, right? Our material possessions, the things that we own. Right, we've got I think art would be an area. We've also got generosity. Right, these are all parts of our life. Wealth means all of these. Every single one of them is doing well. Right, and as you look at this in your own head, I want you to rate, and the first time I did this, it was painful, guys. I want you to rate each of these areas in your head on a 1 to 10 scale. 10 meaning it's exactly the way that you want it. 1 meaning it's nowhere near. Right now, it's missing the mark entirely. Right? And I might have not included some areas here, but I want you looking at this and thinking, okay, well, where would I rate this? What is my physical condition right now? Do I have energy? Am I going to the gym and exercising? Do I go play outside with my kids or my grandkids? Right? Am I sick all the time? Right? What about my mental? Am I constantly in doubt and confusion and worry and grief and all these things, right? Or am I doing well and I'm happy and I'm excited, I'm exhilarated and enthusiastic towards life? All these things would be descriptive and you would have a rating on a 1 to 10 scale. Okay? Now, the second question I want you to ask yourself, what would it take for each of them to be a 10? Okay, what would it take for each of these areas of your life to be a 10? And how much will that cost? Financially speaking, how much would it cost you to fund that lifestyle? You see, this is the thing, and this is the number one pitfall of investing, is we don't align our life goals and purposes with our investments. And when we don't align our life goals and purposes with our investments, what happens is two things, right? Actually, three of them, right? I'm going to say three things happen. The first thing that happens here is number one, you might do what I did initially. You choose poverty. This is the main reason why people choose poverty. Not only are they confused about money, but they're like, why, right? So when I was 17 years old, I remember quitting on money, saying, I'm not going to play the game. That looks like a scam. It looks rigged. Why would I work my life away from Monopoly money? I'm going to focus on just doing the things I love. That was me at 17. I know I'm a weirdo, but I learned the US dollar wasn't backed by gold. right? And for some reason, at the age of 17, instead of being focused on girls or sports, like apparently that was significant to me, where I was like, wow, that really changes my perspective and outlook on life as a 17-year-old. Therefore, I'm going to quit on the system at the age of 17. And the result of that, guys, is in my first marriage, we were homeless within 6 months, living in an abandoned house because I chose poverty. I said, I'm not playing the game. I quit. I'm done. I'm not going to participate. Okay. The second option that someone can choose is denial. Right? Denial is the middle class. Right? Now, the middle class means that you earn, in my definition, you earn $100,000 a year up to about $1 million a year. Right? Because I know people now who are earning $1 million a year who are the smack dab in the middle definition of the middle class. Their number one asset is their home. They don't have passive income. They're not taking care of themselves. They just go to church and they go to work and they do the normal things and they blend in with everyone. That's denial. Right? Nobody in the middle class ever did anything significant for this planet. They were just, the taxpayer. Somebody's got to pay the taxes. Somebody's got to work the job. Somebody's got to do the things. Someone's got to vote for the politicians, right? That's a denial lifestyle. Three bedroom house with two kids, white picket fence in the front lawn. You go to Olive Garden on the weekends and drive two German vehicles, and you put the sign for who you're going to vote for right in the front lawn so everyone knows about it. That's denial. Right? And if I just called you out, I'm sorry, but that's true. The third one, and these are all incorrect, guys. The third one is escape. Escapism. And I have fallen into two of the three, right? Personally, I didn't do denial. The reason I didn't do denial is because I grew up with it, right? I grew up in poverty, right? Like we would literally, I remember watching a bug crawl through my cereal, which we got from a food bank, and my mom telling me, eat it anyways. You should be lucky that you have cereal. While I also was trying to slurp down the spoiled milk that it came with, right? Like that was my lifestyle growing up. But I remember seeing other families that seemed like they were doing well. And as I grew up and grew older, I started to realize that's bullshit. They're not doing well. They're pretending to. They're not doing well. And that was because I started getting into finance. And I was like, no, they have freaking a $50,000 loan on that car and they can't keep up with the payments. They're not winning at life right now. Okay, so I didn't fall into denial because I was able to see it. The third one, which is another pitfall, guys, this is escapism. Escapism. And you'll see even content from me up to a couple of years ago in the escapism mindset. Okay, here's what escapism sounds like. The system's rigged against you. You're a pawn, right? The 1% are trying to control everybody. Get out of the rat race. Use other people's money, get passive income, stop trading time for money. Okay, all that sounds really cool until you ask yourself two questions, right? If you aren't going to trade time for money, what would you do with your time? I want you to answer that question because this is the one that so many people you hear on the gurus and even some of the people who are doing the escapism thing at a very high level. Okay, but I want you to answer this question. If you didn't have to trade time for money, what would you do with the amount of time that you currently spend working, 40 to 60 hours a week? What would you literally do with those hours for the rest of your life? And before you answer this, I want to give you the reality. Most people who pull the plug on work also simultaneously pull the plug on their purpose. And you can Google this and you can search and you will see statistics showing that those who do this, they get Alzheimer's, dementia, and they die early. The statistics are like just like scary in that direction where you'll see, okay, wow, this is a pattern. Right? When you have no reason to get up every day and your life becomes, and here's the thing, this escapism thing is selfish. Every man for himself. I'm investing simply because I don't like having a boss, simply because I don't like trading my time for money, simply because I think jobs are bad. Okay, so if you weren't going to trade time for money, what would you do with your time? I know what I would do. I would help people, right? Who here would help people? Show of hands. If you had unlimited time, you didn't have to worry about money, you would help people, where you would say, okay, I don't, I maybe I have a purpose or a passion. I would help people. Right? So if you would help people, what if you accidentally got paid when it happened? Would you be mad? Would you return the money and be like, no, this is active income? That's the devil. I only do passive. Please give it back. Like, I don't want it. No, you would probably not care. If I could help people, and when I help people, by nature of doing that, even if I'm not trying, money shows up. Cool. I like helping people. I don't mind having money, right? That's a good thing. What's the difference between that and a job? My attitude, my purpose, right? So the idea behind investing isn't to escape. Okay. The idea behind investing is to do three things. Okay. Improve your quality of life individually. Improve the quality of your life for your family, right? For the ones that you love. And then to improve the quality of life of the world around you. Right? So I'm asking you in this webinar today, in this Finance Friday, trade retirement for responsibility. Right? And I think more and more when you study the wealthy, and when I've studied the wealthy, not many of them quit doing what they did for their active income. John Rockefeller was still a businessman, right? Andrew Carnegie was still a businessman and a philanthropist at heart. You look at Jeff Bezos, he's still a business guy. Elon Musk still runs companies. Grant Cardone still runs his sales training companies. So even Robert Kiyosaki, who's the king of telling you use other people's money and passive income, he still runs his businesses. None of them are doing the thing they're telling you to do. Did you notice that? Okay, this was a pattern. This is why I left Wall Street and the financial industries. I don't like it when someone tells me one thing and does another. I don't like that. Because I'm like, why would you do something different than the thing you're telling me to do? That doesn't make sense to me. Right? I'm a C average kid from Houston High School, Alaska, 62 kids in my graduating class, but I'm smart enough to figure out if you say one thing and do something different, that's not integrity, and I don't want to follow that. Right? I do as you do, not as you say. Right? I call it look, don't listen. So when I look at this, I'm saying, okay, the reason we would invest is actually responsibility. Right? It's responsibility. Okay, I believe that when I make money, I have a responsibility to put that to work. To make it grow, I have a responsibility to myself to fund a life of abundance and prosperity in all areas. And I don't mind having active income and I don't mind having passive income. I'm always going to have both. I'm not this focus of, oh, I don't want to ever trade time for something. I'll trade time for health. I'll trade time for family. I'll trade time for fitness. I'll trade time for fun. I'll trade time for any of the things you see here on this whiteboard today. And if I happen to get paid in the process, I'm not going to complain about it and give the money back either. And when I do get the money, I understand that I have a responsibility to invest it. Why? Because it improves, number one, my quality of life. Okay. When my quality of life improves, I'm more able to help others around me. We've all experienced this. You get on the airplane, they give you the whole spiel. If you crash in the ocean, that you put on your mask first before you help someone else. Who's heard that, right? Every single time you get on a plane. It's no different in real life. If you can't afford to take care of yourself, you're not going to be there for your loved ones. You're actually going to become a liability to them. Okay, parents, I'm talking to you guys right now. I recently became a dad. I have a bonus son now. And I would never let this happen, but if I didn't take care of my finances and myself first, when he's 40, 50 years old and I'm 70, 80, he's going to be changing my diapers and paying my nursing home bill. And he'll go broke because of it. And he won't have the life he wants because I became a burden to him because I'm in a condition of liability with myself in any one of these areas, which then causes me to be in a condition of liability with the ones that I love. If you don't take care of business with your own self first, you will not be there for the people you care about. So this is the first reason I invest is I understand my active income is going to cover so much. I understand my passive income is going to cover so much. And together, those things are going to build wealth, right? Don't spit on the active income. That's your gas pedal. That's the accelerator. You're going to make active income way faster than passive. So one of the pitfalls is when people don't understand this responsibility thing and instead they're practicing escapism, right? They invest. They'll say, okay, I've got 100 grand. Okay, let me put this in something and it's going to make me $1,000 a month, right? Do you know how many months it's going to take you to make 100 grand back on $1,000 a month? Right? And I'm not telling you don't do it. I'm telling you you need to do lots of them. That 100 is cute. It's not going to do a whole lot for you. $1,000 a month is not going to change your life. You're not rich right now. You're not wealthy right now. And you're also out 100,000. You don't have the liquidity anymore. Right? Unless you put that in your sacred account and it's still growing, different story, right? But you need your active income to go get the 100 again, right? So when you have like, and I'm gonna sketch this out again so you guys see this. When you have a system that's been working, right? Let's say this is a graph and this is your net worth and it's going up, 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 right? We've got your net worth here and your passive income is going up with it. You need to look at what caused this. What caused these numbers to go up like that? It wasn't the investing. It was your earning and your saving. You earned and saved, and sure, you invested, but had you not earned and saved, you'd have nothing to invest. So, a lot of times people will think within the future, I'm going to unplug from the earning and the saving because I'm financially free and I just invest now and I don't have to do all the stuff that I did to get here. Name one great at anything who quit doing the things that got them there and stayed in power. That's the number one way to slide backwards, is you stop doing the things that got you in power in the first place. Right? So when I'm thinking about this, I've got the responsibility thing. I've got a responsibility number one to myself. And culture today is going to tell you, oh, that's selfish, you know, but then at the same time, they're going to tell you, but also focus on self-care. Which one is it? Is it selfish or is it self-care? Right? Go to the gym, eat organic food, right? Work on your mind, study, get good at your profession, like be good to your friends, have fun, enjoy life. That's focusing on yourself. You need to do that first. Then you have your loved ones. Now, here's the thing. If you're a good person and you focused on yourself, it's benefiting your loved ones. Right? Who here has things that when you do them, it's good for your wife or for your husband, for your kids, for your grandkids, for your family, for your friends? Right? So those are mutual interests. That's called a symbiotic flow. You've got something you do that helps them, something they do that helps you. That's a very good thing. That's called alignment in life. Right? So your second responsibility is to your loved ones. Right? This is the piece of, you know, if you've got kids or you've got people in the future you're planning for financially, and maybe you do, maybe you don't, right? But if you do, you want to not only have a financial legacy set aside for them, but you need to do it in a way where you do actually give them a legacy and not a liability. And like I mentioned, not planning ahead and oh, I'm going to put everything into my kids or I'm going to put everything into this person and not take care of myself. You will be a liability to them in the future 100%. Because you're a liability to yourself right now, and a liability doesn't suddenly become an asset, right? It just gets worse over time. Think about a debt. If you constantly don't pay your credit card, what happens, right? So the other form of this is, oh, I'm going to put all of this money aside and I'm going to build this legacy and I'm just going to give all of it to them, right? If you don't do it in a way where there's good control and there's good regulation and good education in place and good preparation in place, you're also not helping them. Right? I've seen people's lives ruined because they got more money than they could have and no training and no education. Right? So, responsibility for wealth building first is for myself, then for my loved ones. Third is for the world around me. Right? And I'm gonna wrap up on this note tonight, guys. We've all had this stigma, seen this stigma. Maybe some of us are part of it at times of the evil 1%. right? Mr. Burns from The Simpsons, right? The dude that wants to take over the world. Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, all these guys that we see, right? The 1%, when you think about that number, right? What's 1% of the American population? Anyone? Anyways, that's over 3 million people. Our population is 330 million. 1% of that is about 3.3 million. So in 3.3 million people, we think of like five that are bad. Oh, Bill Gates, right? Or this guy or that guy, right? We think of like five of them that are bad, and we completely overlook the fact that there's over 3 million that aren't. Right? And I have this crazy philosophy that when the majority of wealth is in the hands of people who have bad intentions, bad things happen in this planet. Who would agree with that? I want to see who agrees with that. When more bad people have the money, more bad things happen on the planet. Right? That's like basic common sense. So then if we flip it, what if more good people had the money? Right? What if more good people had the money? Would that not be better for the planet? Would that not be better for everybody? Right? And so here's the thing, is most of the people who have money are good. Right? Like it's very, very hard. Trust me, as a businessman, it's very hard to do business and stay in business if you're not a good person and you constantly are ripping people off. Right? You might not like Bill Gates, but right now I'm doing this webinar on a Microsoft computer. He made a good product. Right? You might not like Steve Jobs, but right now I'm recording this on an iPhone. Again, a helpful product. We're not here to judge their life decisions, right? But what I'm telling you is the amount of good people who have money and aren't contributing, aren't being responsible for this third echelon of making the world a better place. That's a far bigger number than the few who do have money and are out to ruin the world for everyone else. And the reason why that's happening is because that group that has the money, they're not taking responsibility. And the reason they're not taking responsibility is they're actually missing knowledge. They believe that wealth is so that they can either be comfortable in denial or to escape. They don't believe that it's a form of responsibility because they've never been taught that. So my mission is teaching that wealth is not only your responsibility to get and build, but it's your responsibility to yourself, your loved ones, and the world around you to improve quality of life in all three of those echelons. And if you have wealth, back to Andrew Carnegie's Gospel of Wealth, that is 100% your responsibility. It's not up to the government. It's not up to Klaus Schwab. It's not up to Bill Gates. It's not up to Mr. Burns. It's up to you and I, right? Now, this is just the 3.3 million that I'm harping on. Right? If your net worth is I think right now it's 10 or 20 million, right, or higher, that puts you net worth-wise in the top 1%. If you're in that range, I'm talking to you right now. You have the money and you're either in denial or escape. Right? You're not taking responsibility. The much bigger group that I want to address is the middle class. Right, those from 100,000 a year in income up to that $1 million range in income. You guys, right? You're the biggest number in the whole lot. And instead of sitting on the sidelines and saying, I can't make it, and the game's rigged, and it's not fair, and look at these evil, wealthy people, and this and that, what are you doing to change it? It's great to complain. It's great to say, hey, these guys, it's their fault, and they're evil, and they're this, and they're that. Right, but the things that they did to build wealth are things you could do too. And I hate to put it this way, but I'm the proof. Guys, if a C student from Alaska, 62 kids in my graduating class, homeless two or three different times in my life, mom and dad divorced all in the summer when I was 8 years old. Mom and dad divorced, lost the house, car got repoed, homeless. Boom. How's that for your 8 years old, right? So if I can do it, you guys can do it. I'm not special. I'm not unique. I'm not different. I don't have like a Harvard background. I didn't go to college. I didn't inherit money, right? I actually lost a significant amount of my net worth a couple years back with some investing stuff and rebuilt it, right? Like if I can do all of that, you for sure can do it. And imagine if we took this huge middle class number and we got everybody that was, instead of sitting on the sidelines pointing their fingers at Bill Gates and Mr. Burns, instead focused on building wealth and starting to make the world a better place. And we quit complaining and we quit blaming and we all just took responsibility. Right? That's the biggest pitfall with investing. And I'm going to end it with this little thought for you tonight as you're watching this. Some of the things that we invest in, we do sheerly for money, right? We do it sheerly because, oh, this is going to make a good return, right? And this is where I had to change my investing philosophy. If I wouldn't do it as a job, if I wouldn't be proud of doing it as my job or donating money to it publicly, I'm not going to invest in it. Therefore, the things I'm going to invest my money and the investments I'm going to make, they're going to be things that make the world a better place by nature of me doing them. Right? I want to invest in housing for people that can't afford it because I believe that having a stable home is an important part of the family dynamic. Right? I want to invest in providing water for people that don't have it. When you do the research, you'll be blown away by how many people don't have drinkable water. All over the world, but also in the US. It's a thing, right? I want to invest in things that clean up the planet, that save the ocean, that provide education in countries where there's illiteracy abound and no solution about it, because illiteracy is the beginning of slavery. Those are the things I want to invest in. And if I make money doing it, awesome, right? That's the kind of stuff I want to be focused on, right? So, guys, as I wrap up on this Finance Friday, I want to thank you so much for watching. I want you thinking about that, right? Like the way I'm investing now, does it align with my life goals and purposes? And has my mindset been responsibility to improve my own quality of life, like abundance and prosperity in all areas of my life that way, right? Improving the quality of life for my loved ones. And improving the quality of life for the world around me. Right? And if you're at the very top of you've got high income, you've got high net worth, you're the most able to help right now for yourself, for your family, for your community, for the world around you. You've got the resources. It's just a matter of you deciding that that's the route you want to go. Right? And if you're like I was, where maybe you're just starting out and you're like, man, this is inspiring. I want to figure this out. I'm trying to get my money right. I'm trying to figure out my finances. I'm trying to make progress. Start with that stuff now. Figure out now, like, how do I start to get those things aligned? And if you need help with that, guys, that's why I have the book, Blueprint to Financial Freedom. Right? This is the playbook. This is the book. I spent years and years studying the 1%, researching, figuring out what is it that they actually did. Right? And this book helped me do it. Right. So if you're watching on this Finance Friday, I do want to put the link and give you a free copy. Let me just pop up the whiteboard one more time. If you want to grab a free copy of the book I just showed you, Blueprint to Financial Freedom, let me just give you the link on the whiteboard. You can go to jerryfetta.com/B2F promo and you can get a free copy there. Again, that's jerryfetta.com/B2F promo. Let me drop that in the chat as well. Right, so you can get a free copy of that. That's my gift to you. And that's something that you're going to be able to start learning, right? The biggest thing here is the education, right? It's never going to go away. It's always going to be something you've got to be responsible for and constantly doing and figuring out and learning about, right? So guys, that's all I've got for you this Finance Friday. Thank you for tuning in. We will be back again next week. If you'd like help with your finances, you can reach out to me if you go to wealthdynamics.com. Reach out to my team. You can connect with me on social media as well, right? But my goal is to help. My vision is if you're a good person, I want your net worth to go up. I want your quality of life to improve, and I want you to pay it forward to the world around you. You guys are very welcome. Thank you for tuning in. I'll see you next week.